our Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Lord, we want to continue now with this worship service. We've gathered to worship. We've gathered to honor you. We've done so with song, with music from our hearts. Now with our minds, with our attention, we worship you. And we want to hear from you, Lord, this morning. I ask that eyes would be opened this morning to your truth by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bob Woods in Pulpit Digest tells the story of a couple who took their son, 11, and daughter, 7, to Carlsbad Caverns. Anybody been there? Familiar with that place? When the tour reached the deepest point in the cavern, the guide turned off all the lights to dramatize how completely dark and silent it is below the earth's surface. The little girl, suddenly enveloped in utter darkness, was frightened, began to cry. But immediately was heard the voice of her brother, "Don't cry, sis. Somebody here knows how to turn on the lights." I think that is a perfect illustration for the condition that we live in as Christians. The Bible teaches that this world is in utter darkness. Utter spiritual darkness. Satan is running amok on this planet, spreading his evil practices everywhere. And the Bible teaches that the human race is a fallen race. That is, the human race has fallen into sin. We've turned from God. We've rebelled against God. And so this society is filled with wickedness, with evil, with despair, with destruction. People are groping around in darkness. But God knows how to turn on the lights. God has turned on the lights. He sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this dark world. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Jesus is the greatest light that's ever come into this world. He has enlightened us to God's truth. He has shown us the path to God. He has provided the way out of darkness in going to the cross and dying on that cross for the sins of this world. One day when Jesus was teaching in his public ministry here, he turned to his disciples and he said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." And there we discover what God's program is for shining the light in this dark world. God wants to shine His light. He's done so through His Son. His Son is now in heaven. God wants to still shine His light. How does He do it? Through disciples of Jesus. Through followers of Jesus Christ. Through Christians. Through us. If we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the lights now. Look at this very simple parable that Jesus told the disciples concerning this. In Luke chapter 8, verse 16, he says, "No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand that those who enter may see the light." I believe that the person who is lighting the lamp in that very simple parable represents Jesus. The lamp that is lit in this parable represents a disciple of Jesus Christ, a Christian, a follower. And I think that's a very powerful way to see what the Christian is like. If you are a true, born-again believer in Jesus Christ, if you are a true, genuine Christian, if you've received Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior, then you have become one of God's lamps. Jesus has turned the lights on in your life. Your life has been lit by Jesus. Jesus has set you ablaze. I think that's a beautiful way to see ourselves as Christians. God's lamp. God has opened our eyes to wonderful truth, hasn't He, as Christians? Our eyes have been opened to the beautiful, wonderful gospel message. We have come to understand what the problem is with humanity, which is sin. We have come to a point in our lives where we admitted to God personally that we were sinners. We have recognized that Jesus came and died on the cross for our sins and rose again that third day. And we've invited Him into our lives by faith. He has filled us with His Spirit, and the lights have gone on. As Christians, we have also come to understand the important questions. We got answers to the important questions that people ask in this life. Like, how did I get here? Why am I here? What happens after this life? Where am I going to go when I die? We got those answers. The light has gone on. One of my favorite quotes from C.S. Lewis is this. He says, "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else." That explains the light that's come into our lives. We've also been given the capacity to understand the Scripture. So we have learned how to live life. We know what kind of marriages God wants us to have. What kind of fathers we're supposed to be. Mothers. Friends. Church members. Workers. The light has just flooded into your heart. Doesn't that kind of explain your conversion? Do you remember when you gave your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Think back. And you bowed and you received Christ, and it was like this flood of light surged into your heart. It's like all of a sudden you're, whoa, hello, I can see clearly now. Just all this wonderful truth. You are blessed. Jesus has lit you. You're His lamp. You know the truth. And that's why we as Christians sing passionately along with that famous hymn that John Newton wrote, "Amazing Grace, how great the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." Our lives have been lit by Jesus Christ. So how are we to live the rest of our days in this life? Shining. We are to shine. We are to shine as brightly as we possibly can for Jesus Christ. In verse 16, Jesus said, "When somebody lights a lamp, They set it on a lampstand so that everybody can see. And that's what we're supposed to do as Christians. We are to diffuse God's light wherever we go in this dark world. We are to diffuse the truth wherever we go in this world. In deed, by example, in speech. To shine God's light means to share the gospel message with other people every time you get the opportunity. It means to share God's light, God's word, with other people whenever you get the opportunity. It means to live the truth in front of people. It means to radiate God's peace, radiate God's joy, radiate His love. It means that we are to have lives that are absolutely overflowing with good works. We're shining for Jesus Christ. And we need to be consistent shiners. Not on a year, off a year. On a week, off a week. God doesn't want us to be firecracker Christians. One big burst of light and noise and then nothing else. He doesn't want us to be like comets streaking across the sky, a flash of glory and light and then gone. We need to shine consistently like stars in the night sky, continuing to radiate the goodness of God. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3 says, "Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." We are to shine. Jesus says very clearly here, we are not to hide our lights. We are not to cover our lights. We are not to dull down our lights. It says in verse 16, "No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed." That's silly. That's just ridiculous. The lamp they're talking about in those days was this clay vessel with oil in it and a wick. And you'd light it. It was like a candle. And nobody would light a lamp and then put a bowl over it. It would block the light. It would even extinguish the light. And the point is here, what imbecile would do that? Who would light a light and then put it under a bed? It's just absolutely silly. And so it is with the Christian who hides their light. It is silly. It's loopy. It's ridiculous. There should be absolutely no such thing as a secret Christian on this planet. No such thing as a secret disciple of Jesus Christ. We are not to hide our lights. And yet, many Christians do. There are many Christians who hide their lights. Why do we do that? When we've been so blessed by the Lord to have our eyes open, we need to be very, very cautious about anything in this life that might dull our lights. We need to be cautious about anything in this life that might cover our lights, even a little bit. Anything that might cover or taint our Christian witness or obscure it. Here in verse 16, Jesus says, "No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel." In other places, he says, "Nobody covers it with a bushel." You ever heard that before? Bushel? What's a bushel? A bushel is a Roman measuring basket of various sizes that was used to measure dry goods. The bushel has come to be a unit of measure in the world of commerce. And I think that's very interesting. Business, commerce, the daily grind of trying to find the almighty dollar. That can obscure our lights. That can dull down our lights. There are many Christians who get obsessed with this world. Now let's face it, we're supposed to go make a living, right? Aren't we? And we're supposed to be responsible. And we're definitely supposed to do that. But in this country, it's so easy to become obsessed with becoming rich and making lots of money. And this career thing can really even sidetrack us as Christians. We need to go and be the best that we can. But listen, keep the lamp on top of the bushel. In other words, practice your Christianity in the marketplace. Use your position in business and your place as a pulpit for the gospel. Those people that come to you in your business that you call clients, realize also that they're souls. Amen? And they need to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be careful. Don't let the business get above the light. It also says, Jesus says, no one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it under a bed. The bed here could be the one that they obviously slept on in those days. It could also refer to the reclining couch that they would recline on around the table when they shared a meal. They would have a long, elaborate meals in those days, and they would sit on those couches, recline on those couches as they had that meal. Jesus says, don't cover the light with the reclining couch. I think that little bed can represent leisure, indulgence, recreation, entertainment. In America, we work hard. There are lots of workaholics in this country. But America is also obsessed with entertainment, isn't it? And a lot of Americans fill every moment of their spare time with entertainment. And as Christians, we can do that as well. And that can obscure your light. Remember to shine your light in the times of recreation as well. And also, take some of your spare time away from just watching TV and go and reach out to other people and shine that light. Don't let anything obscure it. Don't let anything in your life dull it down. I think there's another factor that really causes Christians to hide their lights. Fear. Fear. We're afraid that people won't like us. We're afraid that we're going to be different. And you know what? If you shine your light, you're going to be different. You are going to be radically different. But you see, Christians know that. And they say, well, if I go out and I shine this light and I really show everybody my commitment to Jesus, then I'm going to get in trouble with people. People aren't going to like me. I'm going to be rejected. I'm going to be ostracized. I'm going to be persecuted. I'm going to become unpopular. I won't get invited to parties anymore. And that's a real fear for many people. Hey, listen, people don't like different people. But Jesus has lit up your life. And you need to shine. And we need to get over that fear. Here's a way you get over the fear of man. Fear God more. Right? Make a choice. Who in your life do you want to be most pleased with you, God or man? God. Shine the light for Him. And keep in mind that Jesus did say in Mark chapter 8, whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Let's not be ashamed. Let's shine. Don't hide it. Don't be a secret Christian. Shine. You know, there have been many discoveries made by mankind that have led to marvelous inventions. When that happens, news usually gets out. Right? Word spreads. The news gets out. The light gets out. When the Wright brothers invented their little airplane, did they keep it secret? No, they spread the news because it had incredible benefit for mankind. Also kind of a big cha-ching for them, right? When Thomas Edison invented the incandescent light bulb, did he keep that news to himself? No, he spread the news. He spread the light. My brother and sister in Christ, you've made an awesome discovery. Jesus has opened your eyes to salvation. You've discovered salvation. Why in the world would you keep that news to yourself? Why would you not live that? Or what about the many medical breakthroughs that have come about in history? When a medicine is discovered that would cure a disease or an illness, do people keep that news to themselves? No. That gets out. Back in 1945, the first safe antibiotics were invented by British scientists Howard Fleury and Ernst Boris Chain. Anybody ever heard of those guys? I hadn't. But I sure am glad they discovered what they did and published it. Aren't you? The medical breakthrough is news that gets out. We have discovered the cure for sin. Why would you take that light and put a bowl over it? Why would you not live that light before other people? Shine. Let it shine. This little passage, I think, tells us why we should shine the light consistently. And it gives us great motivation, great reasons to do so. Look what Jesus says right after that parable in verse 17. He says, "For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light." Now, that's kind of a difficult verse to... What does Jesus mean by that? Well, there's a couple of thoughts on this. Some believe that this is a warning from Jesus. That this is an actual warning. Jesus says here that there is coming a day when everything is going to be exposed. When everything is coming to light. And some interpreters say that Jesus is speaking of judgment day. When everything will be exposed in a person's life. Now, as you know, non-believers will be judged at the great white throne judgment. We won't be there. They'll be judged for their sins. We won't, because our sins have been forgiven by Jesus. But the Bible does say that one day Christians will stand before the Bema seat of Christ, where we will give an account for how we live for Christ in the body. And there will be rewards. And some see this as a warning. Jesus is warning Christians who are covering their lights. He's saying, don't cover your lights. Don't hide your lights.
Because one day your failure and neglect will be exposed. Your lack of shining the light is one day going to come to light. And so it's a warning. Don't do that. When you get to heaven, do you want to be the guy to which everyone says, "You? I had no idea." Welcome. Is that how you want to go to heaven? When you get to the judgment seat of Christ and you look into the eyes of the Lord who gave everything for you and opened you up to truth that people long to know. He's opened your eyes. And you stand before Him, and it is revealed at that moment, it's exposed at that moment, that you were a secret Christian. None of us want that, do we? None of us. God's given us this light to shine. It could be a warning. There's also another interpretation here. I believe verses 16 and 17 speaks of God's great desire to make Himself known. God wants to reveal Himself. God wants to turn on the lights. He wants to bring people out of darkness, and He's done so much to do that. And I think verse 17, some interpreters say it actually what it's doing is it's catching the heart of what God wants to do. Nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. It's God saying, I want people to know. I want everything to come to light. I want people to learn of me and walk out of darkness. And so I've sent my Son. I've given my word. And now I have my people spread out all over the planet, and I want them to shine. And that's why we need to shine. Brother and sister in Christ, when we shine, our lives can actually lead others out of darkness. Right? That's why we shine. What a motivation that God wants to touch another person's life through you. There are people who are walking in the darkness, groping around in the dark, and they see this light walk by them. And it's you. And they say, whoa, they're kind of attracted to the light. And then they come to the light. And of course, the light, us, points them to the true light, Jesus Christ. Amen? And a person is pulled out of darkness. I heard about a missionary physician in one of China's hospitals who cured a man of cataracts. A few weeks later, 48 blind men came to that doctor from one of China's wilds, all holding on to a rope, guided by the man who had been cured. He led them in this way, walking in chains, 250 miles to the hospital. What a beautiful picture this guy could see. He went back home. He found as many blind men as he could, chained them up, led them on a parade to the doctor, to the one who can cure. That's why we shine. Because we want other people to come to the doctor. We want other people to come to the Savior. We shine because we want to let the Lord use our lives to draw others out of darkness. Aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad somebody told you? Return the favor. Go share the news with other people. Somebody said Christianity is just one beggar telling another beggar how to get food. That's what we're called to do.
Look at verse 18. I think I see another awesome motivation or reason for shining our lights. Verse 18, Jesus says, therefore, take heed how you hear. Interesting. How you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. That's a good reason to shine. The whole verse is about how we hear. The idea is we need to hear God's word appropriately. We hear it, we take it in, we receive it, we do it, and we share it. God opens your eyes to light. You receive the light. You do the light. And you shine the light. And you share the light. Guess what happens? You're given more light. You progress. You grow. God gives you light. You don't receive it. You listen to it, but, well, you know, there's other things on my mind. You don't do it. You don't share it. You don't live it. You don't shine it. Well, you never really had it. And it's taking from you, and you decline. You go backwards. Doesn't that seem to be a principle in life that seems to be true across the board? You either are going forward or backward, right? Isn't that how it works? There's never any neutrality. You're always going forward or backward. That seems to be the case economically. That old adage, the rich get richer, the poor get poorer. Did you hear the report this week that there are 946 billionaires on planet Earth, according to Forbes? And last year, their wealth grew 35%. They needed a little more money. But the rich do seem to get richer. The poor seem to get poorer. We see that concept working physically. Isn't it a drag, those of you who work out? How you can work out for 2 years and lose what you've gained in 2 years and 2 weeks? You know what I mean? There's this idea in every aspect of life. You're either going forward and you keep going forward and you keep getting better and you never let up, or you're going backward. I think that's exactly true spiritually, and I think that's what Jesus is saying here in verse 18. If you're given truth, if your eyes are open and you don't do it, you don't receive it, you don't share it, you don't shine it, you'll go backwards. But if you receive truth and you do it and you share it and you shine it, you go forward. And here's the deal. When you shine your light, you get to know God better. He opens your eyes to more revelation of Him and a better understanding of His truth. How many of you want to get to know Jesus better? Get in a closer walk with God and a more profound understanding of His truth. Shine the light that He has given to you right now. That will assure that you continue to grow and get stronger. I think there's other wonderful motivations for us to shine the light. Shining the light is an expression of our love for God. Did you know that? Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 21, He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Do you love God? Isn't God wonderful? And his love for us is so wonderful. Do we love him? If we do, we'll obey him. We'll shine. It's an expression of our love. Shining the light also brings glory to the Father. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Do we shine our light? Do we do good deeds and good works so that everybody can look at us and go, "Wow, what a really religious guy that is"? Do we do this to impress our Christian friends? Why do we shine the light? So that people will look at our lives and say, "There must be a God," and give glory to God. And a well lit up light does bring glory to God, doesn't it? Oh, the stories in church history. The testimonies of evil and wicked people who live such a debased life, coming to Jesus Christ, becoming born again, and totally changing a life of darkness and then a life of light. And the change is so dramatic. And people look at that life and they say, "There's a God." And they give glory to God. That's why we live this way. Shine the light. Shine it consistently. Shine it wherever you go. There might be some here this morning who haven't been lit up yet. I mean lit up by Jesus. You're the one who's walking around in darkness. You don't have the answers to those profound questions that people have. I want you to understand that right now, at this moment, Jesus can light you. He can light your lamp. He can flood light into your heart. You must recognize that you are a sinner. You must recognize that Jesus died for you. You must ask Him to be your Savior and to come into your life and to forgive you of all your sins. And He'll come in and there will be all kinds of lights turning on in your life. He'll lead you out of darkness. And He'll begin to use you in leading others out of darkness. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank You, first of all, this morning, for turning on the lights. Oh God, we're so grateful that You saw us in our darkness and You loved us in the darkness. We are so grateful that You have sent Your Son. And for those of us, Lord, who know You this morning, we just want to say how grateful we are to You for opening our eyes. Father, I pray for all of Your people here, all that have gathered this morning, all that perhaps will hear this message at a later time. I pray that we would courageously shine the light. I ask, Lord, that we would be those that shine so brightly for You. Use us in our businesses, in our neighborhoods, everywhere we might go.
And then, Lord, I would like to pray for anyone here this morning who does not know you, who's never received the Son. Perhaps that explains you this morning. You're the one that's walking around in darkness and you need to have a great awakening. I want to give you an opportunity to make that decision. If you want to receive Christ as your Savior right now into your heart, would you raise your hand up high so I could see it? Oh, Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Anybody else? Raise your hand up high. That is wonderful, brother. Anybody else? Hey, I want to lead you in a prayer. Just a simple prayer. This is, you're going to ask Christ to come into your heart to forgive you of all your sins, knowing that He died on the cross for you. Are you ready? You pray this with me, brother. Just say, Lord Jesus, right now, I ask you to come into my life. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Flood my life with light. Thank you, Lord, for the hope of heaven. Help me to live my life, the rest of my days here, shining your light. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Juan's got his hand raised in the back, and why don't you just go spend some time with Juan right after the service? He just wants to pray with you and share some more things with you. Hey, we're going to sing one last song. But before we do that, let's all stand. I'm finishing early this morning. You're all. As I was preparing this message all week long, I was thinking about that song that I used to sing as a kid. In Sunday school. You remember, what song am I thinking about? This little light of mine. Kids, we're going to sing that song. You ready? Okay. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Amen.
Close this up, buddy.
Actually, let's leave it with that. You can sing that for the rest of the day and the rest of your week. God bless you. God bless you.